Bilton comes from the shed and bars the way.
You can't take anything explosive in here, sir.
What do you mean? Are you alluding to me?
No, ma'am. Mr. Undershaft has the other gentleman's matches in his pocket.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
Lady Britomart goes into the shed.
Quite right, Bilton. Quite right. Here you are.
Undershaft gives Bilton the box of matches.
Come, Stephen. Come, Charles. Bring Sarah.
Undershaft passes into the shed. Bilton opens the box and deliberately drops the matches into the fire bucket.
Oh, I say!
Bilton stolidly hands him the empty box.
Infernal nonsense! Pure scientific ignorance!
Charles goes in.
Am I all right, Bilton?
You'll have to put on list slippers, miss, that's all. We've got him inside.
Sarah goes in.
Dolly, old fellow, think. Think before you decide. Do you feel that you are a sufficiently practical man? It is a huge undertaking, an enormous responsibility. All this mass of business will be Greek to you.
Oh, I think it will be much less difficult than Greek.
Well, I just want to say this before I leave you to yourselves. Don't let anything I have said about right and wrong prejudice you against this great chance in life. I have satisfied myself that the business is one of the highest character and a credit to our country. I'm very proud of my father.
Unable to proceed, Stephen presses Cousin's hand and goes hastily into the shed, followed by Bilton. Barbara and Cousins, left alone together, look at one another silently.
Barbara, I am going to accept this offer.
I thought you would.
You understand, don't you, that I had to decide without consulting you. If I had thrown the burden of the choice on you, you would sooner or later have despised me for it.
Yes, I did not want you to sell your soul for me any more than for this inheritance.
It is not the sale of my soul that troubles me. I have sold it too often to care about that. I have sold it for a professorship. I have sold it for an income. I have sold it to escape being in prison for refusing to pay taxes for hangman's ropes and unjust wars and things that I abhor. What is all human conduct but the daily and hourly sale of our souls for trifles? What I am now selling it for is neither money nor position nor comfort, but for reality and for power.
You know that you will have no power and that he has none.
I know. It is not for myself alone. I want to make power for the world.
I want to make power for the world too, but it must be spiritual power.
I think all power is spiritual. These cannons will not go off by themselves. I've tried to make spiritual power by teaching Greek, but the world can never be really touched by a dead language and a dead civilization. The people must have power, and the people cannot have Greek. Now the power that is made here can be wielded by all men.
Power to burn women's houses and kill their sons and tear their husbands to pieces.
You cannot have power for good without having power for evil, too. Even mother's milk nourishes murderers as well as heroes. The power which only tears men's bodies to pieces has never been so horribly abused as the intellectual power, the imaginative power, the poetic, religious power that can enslave men's souls. As a teacher of Greek, I gave the intellectual man weapons against the common man. I now want to give the common man weapons against the intellectual man. I love the common people. I want to arm them against the lawyer, the doctor, the priest, the literary man, the professor, the artist, and the politician, who, once in authority, are the most dangerous, disastrous, and tyrannical of all the fools, rascals, and imposters. I want a democratic power strong enough to force the intellectual oligarchy to use its genius for the general good or else perish.
Barbara points to the shell.
Is there no higher power than that?
Yes, but that power can destroy the higher powers just as a tiger can destroy a man. Therefore, man must master that power first. I admitted this when the Turks and Greeks were last at war. My best pupil went out to fight for Hellas. My parting gift to him was not a copy of Plato's Republic, but a revolver and 100 undershaft cartridges. The blood of every Turk he shot, if he shot any, is on my head as well as on undershafts. That act committed me to this place forever. Your father's challenge has beaten me. Dare I make war on war? I dare. I must. I will. And now, is it all over between us?
Barbara is touched by his evident dread of her answer.
Silly baby, Dolly. How could it be?
Then you owe for my drum!
Cousins, overjoyed, flourishes imaginary drumsticks. Barbara is angered by his levity.
Take care, Dolly, take care. Oh, if I could only get away from you and from father and from it all! If I could have the wings of a dove and fly away to heaven.
And leave me!
Yes, you. And all the other naughty, mischievous children of men. But I can't. I was happy in the Salvation Army. For a moment, I escaped from the world into a paradise of enthusiasm and prayer and soul-saving. But the moment our money ran short, it all came back to Bodger. It was he who saved our people. He and the Prince of Darkness, my papa. Undershaft and Bodger, their hands stretch everywhere. When we feed a starving fellow creature, it is with their bread, because there is no other bread. When we tend the sick, it is in the hospitals they endow. If we turn from the churches that they build, we must kneel on the stones of the streets they pave. As long as that lasts, there is no getting away from them. Turning our backs on Bodger and Undershaft is turning our backs on life.
I thought you were determined to turn your back on the wicked side of life.
There is no wicked side. Life is all one. And I never wanted to shirk my share in whatever evil must be endured, whether it be sin or suffering. I wish I could cure you of middle-class ideas, Dolly.
Middle-class? A snub! A social snub to me, from the daughter of a foundling.
That is why I have no class, Dolly. I come straight out of the heart of the whole people. If I were middle class, I should turn my back on my father's business. And we should both live in an artistic drawing room, with you reading the reviews in one corner, and I in the other, playing at the piano, playing Schumann, both very superior persons, and neither of us a bit of use. Sooner than that, I would sweep out the gun cotton shed, or be one of Bodger's barmaids. Do you know what would have happened if you had refused Papa's offer?
I wonder.
I should have given you up and married the man who accepted it. After all, my dear old mother has more sense than any of you. I felt like her when I saw this place, felt that I must have it, that never, never, never could I let it go, only she thought it was the houses and the kitchen ranges and the linen and china, when it was really all the human souls to be saved. Not weak souls in starved bodies, crying with gratitude for a scrap of bread and treacle, but full-fed, quarrelsome, snobbish, uppish creatures, all standing on their little rights and dignities, and thinking that my father ought to be greatly obliged to them for making so much money for him. And so he ought. That is where salvation is really wanted. My father shall never throw it in my teeth again that my converts were bribed with bread.
Barbara is transfigured.
I have got rid of the bribe of bread. I have got rid of the bribe of heaven. Let God's work be done for its own sake. The work he had to create us to do, because it cannot be done except by living men and women. When I die, let him be in my debt, not I in his. And let me forgive him as becomes a woman of my rank.
Then the way of life lies through the factory of death?
Yes. Through the raising of hell to heaven and of man to God. Through the unveiling of an eternal light in the valley of the shadow.
Barbara seizes cousins with both hands.
Oh, did you think my courage would never come back? Did you believe that I was a deserter? That I, who have stood in the streets and taken my people to my heart and talked of the holiest and greatest things with them, could ever turn my back and chatter foolishly to fashionable people about nothing in a drawing room? Never, 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 never! Major Barbara will die with the colors! Oh, and I have my dear little Dolly boy still, and he has found me my place and my work. Glory, hallelujah!
Barbara kisses Dolly.
My dearest, consider my delicate health. I cannot stand as much happiness as you can.
Yes, it is not easy work being in love with me, is it? But it's good for you.
Barbara runs to the shed and calls.
Mama! Mama!
Bilton comes out of the shed, followed by Undershaft.
I want my mama.
She is taking off her list slippers, dear.
Undershaft passes on to cousins.
Well, what does she say?
She has gone right up into the skies.
Lady Britomart comes out from the shed and stops on the steps, obstructing Sarah, who follows with Lomax. Barbara clutches like a baby at her mother's skirt.
Barbara, when will you learn to be independent and to act and think for yourself? I know what that cry of mama, mama means. Always running to me.
Sarah touches Lady Britomart's ribs with her fingertips and imitating a bicycle horn.
Pip, pip! You dare say pip, pip to me, Sarah? You are both very naughty children. What do you want, Barbara?
I want a house in the village to live in with Dolly.
Barbara is dragging at her mother's skirt.
Come and tell me which one to take.
Undershaft addresses cousins.
6 o'clock tomorrow morning, my young friend.
Major Barbara by George Bernard Shaw was read at the Ensemble Studio Theater in Manhattan in 2011. Rin Allen read Major Barbara, Lawrence Cantor read Andrew Undershaft, Lucy McMichael read Lady Britomart, Paul Singleton read Adolphus Cousins, Jonathan Horvath read Stephen Undershaft. Sharifa Wilson read Sarah Undershaft. Philip Casal read Charles Lomax. Jason Siegel read Snobby Price. Joan Shepherd read Rummy Mitchins. Matthew L. Imperato read Bill Walker. Natalie Frederick read Jenny Hill. Jerry Rogers read Peter Shirley. Eve Sorrell read Mrs. Baines. Gardner Comfort read Morrison and Bilton. Temi Rose read the narrator.
This is me and Gardner testing this to see how it goes. Talk to the Gardner.
Thursday, December 22nd.
And here we are in the morning.
Yeah,
hey. It looks like you took a shower.
I did, indeed. Yeah, I put stuff in my hair. Yeah. I made coffee this morning.
Is your wife awake enough too?
She is in St. Paul, Minnesota. She left yesterday for
Christmas.
Oh,
wow, when do you leave?
I'm leaving tomorrow. I had a dream about North Korea.